stories of legends of old, making history for the world to see. The stories of glories unfold. We are the legendary Rangers. We wear the legendary blue. Today, forever and for always, we are Rangers.
Hello everybody, this is William Donaghy from the Ulster Bird Podcast, and today I'm delighted to tell you that I have Ian McCall from the Founders Trail with us. How are you, Ian?
I'm great, William. Thanks very much for having me on. This is an absolute pleasure. Yeah, thank you very much indeed.
No problem. I'm delighted to have you on. We were actually on your Founders Trail last year, a few of us, the boys, obviously now with the matches being changed with Europe, and we had a free Saturday to book, and lucky enough we got on your Founders Trail, and it was absolutely fantastic, mate. So to help you promote it, I'm delighted to do that.
Ah, that's fantastic. I'm absolutely delighted that you've enjoyed your day. You can't beat a good bit of positive feedback, William, you know, definitely.
No, it's fantastic. See, I love my history anyway and all aspects, but they actually have something to learn about the Rangers' history. It's just second to none. It's just a great job what you do, and really what I would like to sort of get out first of all, you know, how does people find yourselves? How did they get booking onto the Founders Trail, and how to locate you?
Yeah, the easiest way to do it is to go to our website. It's thefounderstrail.co.uk, and their tour dates and availability are updated regular. Unfortunately, we do have to change date purely because of the football world that we now live in, due to live TV coverage, etc., and with games getting moved about. But what we do see is the Founders Trail is never cancelled. Obviously, Rangers can't play Saturday and Sunday. So if the Rangers game is moved to the Sunday, then we move to the Saturday and vice versa. So, thefounderstrail.co.uk is the best place to go into, or they can drop us an email to thefounderstrail@gmail.com, and we'll give them any information they require before they make the actual booking.
Fantastic. And I was actually on the website today. I've been on it before, but it took time to come on it again before we were speaking tonight. And I think the website's really good, mate. You have done a really good job there. Everything's laid out perfectly. I see already that you're booked out for the 8th of September, and you're booked or sold out for the Saturday the 21st as well, which is just incredible because you've been going for a while now, and just seems to be, you know, every time you're booking something, it's always sold out. So the appetite for it must be immense.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, it's you know, you really can't put you can pay as much money as you want. You're in marketing, you know, but you really can't beat the old-fashioned word of mouth, you know. And that's what we're getting a lot. You know, there's people going away saying, "I'm going to tell family, friends," you know, and some people were maybe quite skeptical about it, weren't quite sure about it, you know. And then we get people coming back and booking and saying, "Oh, my brother was on it, my uncle was on it," you know, and I'm just desperate to go on and, you know, and sample the day. You know, and it's been wonderful how it's taken off, certainly over the last 4 years. The club changed hands back in 2015, and we were fairly quickly introduced to a couple of the board members, and they put us in contact with the marketing department, the guys at the media office, you know, and we've got a fantastic working relationship with them. You're at Ibrox regularly, you'll see the Founders Trail, you know, advert up on the jumbo screens. You know, we've got adverts in the Match Day programme, you know, in the toilets concourses, you know. But what you've got to remember, you know, is also part of the day is the Ibrox Stadium tour, you know, and it's that's where the partnership comes in, you know. We are now running over 28-29 buses per season, you know, and also we're selling the stadium tour for the club, you know, and it's getting many people, young and old, through the front doors of our wonderful stadium, many for the first time, which came as a huge surprise, you know. I'm talking about doing the stadium tour part of it. Also, the vast majority of people have also attended matches, but actually coming on and getting the opportunity to do the stadium tour, which is fantastic, you know. So, yeah, it's a healthy relationship, you know, but of course that's the way it should be, you know.
Well, this is it. Yeah, it's everybody working together, mate. And, you know, you're getting the story out there of Rangers of old, you know, the four lads and the founders. And then, obviously, they're going to the tour, and Rangers Football Club are getting a wee bit out of that as well by showing off the stadium. So if it works for you and the club, that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's obviously, we take the story straight back to the first day, you know, at Fleshers Hall and the birth of the club in my very first game, and then to finish it, you know, with going through the front doors of the stadium into that magnificent stadium. It gives everyone the contrast, you know, from the public park of Fleshers Hall and Glasgow Green into Ibrox Park and our magnificent stadium, you know. So it's it gives people the contrast within the journey on the day. Yeah.
As I say, I remember obviously when I done the tour with yourself. Now I know we know Ibrox, you know, every Rangers supporter knows Ibrox, of course. But when we were going with you and you showed us where Rangers had first played the first game, and you go, as you say, the end of the tour, and you're looking at the magnificent stadium, which is Ibrox Park, and it really hits at home where we have come from when you go on that story of yours. And you know, it really like how incredible something so small can start at the beginning and be what the institution it is that everybody in world football knows today.
Yeah, it's fascinating, you know, and so one of the gems that we found, you know, it's not only is it every passenger and ourselves that are taking that journey from Fleshers Hall to Ibrox, it's the majority of our founders made that journey too. They lived long enough.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Valance and Moses McNeil, William McBeath, Peter Campbell, unfortunately lost his life when he was young, you know, but even Peter McNeil, you know, he passed in 1901, which he was still fairly young at the time, but we moved into our current home in 1899, 2 years previous, you know. And the great Tom Valance, you know, he was there, you know, in the early days in Fleshers Hall, you know, when we'd managed to procure a ball, you know, we know the song goes by now, you know, we'd no strips and no money.
Yeah.
And for him then to be a guest at the club in 1929, the day that magnificent main stand was opened, and then in 1933 he's a guest of the club again for a game against Sporting Club of Vienna. That was actually the first time a European club had came to Ibrox, and it was in a friendly capacity, and he was also a guest of the club that year for the New Year's Day game against Celtic. So for that kid to be in Fleshers Hall to then sit in Ibrox, you know, in front of crowds touching, sometimes going over 100,000, I mean, what was he thinking? You know, it's just astonishing, you know, what he witnessed in his lifespan, you know. And that's a very special story to put across, you know, because I say not only do we make the journey ourselves, but we're literally following in the footsteps of our founders on the day, but we're making the journey right to the front doors and into Ibrox that those guys made, you know, which is special, you know.
Have you got many, Ian, on the Founders Trail who maybe aren't Rangers fans, and maybe not from directly from Scotland, but you know, anyone who's maybe been visiting the country for whatever reason, who you know, who's come in that way, or is it just me and
Rangers? We've had a historian from Dundee down and a couple of people from Hearts through. What we do find a lot is you'll find that certainly come to Christmas time, you know, there's women out there who'll kind of hear about it and they'll maybe buy their partners or their husbands, you know, whatever, you know, as a gift voucher, you know, as a Christmas gift, and they'll come along, you know, and they're generally not kind of slow and saying, look, I'm a Motherwell fan, you know, but I've bought him this ticket, you know, and I'm going to come along in the day. But the feedback you get from them at the end of, you know, because if they don't come and speak to me, I go and find them and say, so what do you think? You know, and it's always positive, you know. And with women coming up, you know, and saying, look, I've absolutely no interest in football at all, but this has been absolutely fascinating today. And to know you're reaching those people is extra special, you know. I know your next question is, would anyone from the dark side? No, we haven't. They might well have been on the tour, but they've never made themselves known, you know. So, but with their fascination with our club, I'd be stunned, you know, if none of them have actually taken the journey with us, you know. But they've certainly never waved a flag at us, you know, and saying we're here, you know. So, but there you are. It's been enjoyable, you know. And also, I mean, let's not forget the younger generation, you know, the kids that we got on, the coach, you know. And I kind of try and keep an eye on what they're doing kind of during the day, you know, and how they're. And the amount of young guys that have come up and said to us, just wow, you know. I knew Rangers were special, but I just wasn't sure why. But you've helped me understand today, and that's special, you know, because you know they're going to take it away and they're hopefully going to carry it with them, you know, for years to come, you know.
They tell their friends as well, you know, of what they've seen and stories that maybe they didn't know before they went on the Founders Trail, and hopefully they.
Because listen, we all know the nonsense that gets written about is. out there, you know, and the people responsible for that aren't all of a sudden going to stop, mate, you know. It's not going to stop, you know, but all we can do is make sure that the real Ranger story is put out, you know, to not only the current generation, but the generations to come, you know. And if we can play a small part in that, then it's job done, you know, definitely.
Yeah, well, this is what, you know, like myself doing this podcast, the likes of yourself doing the Founders Trail, you know, I think this is what we need to do a wee bit more often, because we do have media out there, etc., who maybe put our club down, but we've got the likes of yourself putting out the real story of Rangers, likes of myself, you know, talking about the Rangers, just giving the supporters another avenue or more to listen to instead of the same old maybe biased media, as we would call them.
Yeah,
I think it's invaluable to the support that more and more people like yourself and podcasts and blogs and YouTubers and whatever people's doing it's good for the Rangers support as a whole. You know, do you agree with that yourself?
100%. Oh yeah, definitely. You know, there isn't enough for this can go out there. You know, because we're absolutely enormous. You know, we're a huge institution. You know, that affects the lives of hundreds of thousands. You know, if not millions of people around the world. You know, and. People just can't get enough of it, you know, just can't get enough of Rangers, you know, but it's, but people are always looking for quality, you know. What you can't do is, you can't feed Rangers support rubbish, you know, because people just see straight through it, you know, and that was what we were really nervous about in the first couple of years, you know. We were like, this has got to be bang on right, you know, and still to this day, during the introduction to the Founders Trail, you know, we will tell people, you know, on the coach that we will not put anything out there unless it can stand on its own 2 feet. You know, we will research something, we will check it, and we'll check it again. And if it's watertight, then we'll put it out. You know, there is still a lot of stories, a lot of myths, etc., that we've got our teeth into, and we're trying to get round about and trying to get something, you know, something concrete on them, you know, before we can put them out. You know, so we're constantly kind of working at that. But that's what it's important. You know, it's the information, you know, is and the shows you guys do, you know, that it's first class, but it's got to be. You know, it's got to be, you know, because our fellow supporters deserve it, you know. You know, it's we're not going to buy any second or third hand product, mate. You know, it's just not going to happen, you know.
No, I agree with you. This is it, mate. And as I say, the support deserve it. And it's good to see everybody sort of working together, you know. And that's why getting the likes of yourself on, you know, I want to promote everything Rangers out there. And obviously, being on the Founders Trail, I've experienced it myself. And anybody who is listening, please. If you haven't been on this Founders Trail yet, get yourselves booked on, because it's absolutely fantastic. You'll really enjoy it, and there'll definitely be things that you didn't know about Rangers. Even if you think you know it all, there is stuff that you actually don't know until you go on this Founders Trail. So please get yourselves booked on, because something not to be missed. And obviously, as you just said there yourself, Ian, if there's any women listening in, buy your hubby a voucher for the Founders Trail.
That's it. Doesn't matter what team you support, just come along. You know, it's a wonderful people story, you know, and a wonderful, wonderful Glasgow and football story, you know. So, and it's obviously also all about the Rangers, so you can't go wrong, you know.
Well, no, what I've noticed is, obviously, I know you work in an association with Rangers Football Club and the board that we have at the minute in place, and obviously there's been a bit of animosity with the old board at the club, and there was a bit of inviting to try and rustle the grass the club off that old board, etc., between the new board, and we know all about that. But what was it like working with the old board, sort of moving into the new board? Is there much of a difference?
Yeah, we first took to the road back in 2009, and we actually ran the first couple of Founders Trails without the stadium tour being added, and then we thought, as we covered there, you know, the contrast, taking people from Fleischer's Hot and in through the front doors. We went and approached the club, and we sat down with Sandy Jarden, you know, and Sandy was a fantastic, wonderful help, you know. Sandy was taking care of the going on in the trophy room, you know, and he had old club minute books, you know. And he said, yeah, come and have a coffee. We'll sit and have a chat, you know, and we put across the table what our idea would be. And he said, right, okay, let's try one and see how it goes, you know. And it was a roaring success. And he couldn't do enough for us, you know. The darkness, it was 2012, came. And we all of a sudden found ourselves on the outside looking in, which wasn't a big surprise. We were very much kept at arm's length. And unfortunately, we had our fellow Rangers supporters at the time. But don't get me wrong, I mean, I totally supported what they were saying. We're coming to you saying, look, we want to come to the Founders Trail, but we know X amount of that ticket money is going into the club. Well, Green and latterly the Easdales, etc. And we're not giving them a penny. We'll come along to the Founders Trail, but we're leaving the tour at the stadium door. We got our heads down a couple of times, you know, and we were very close, you know, to shutting it off, closing it down. And I just kept saying no, because there's people, you know, that are leaving the tour and then coming back to us and saying, look, you've given me something to cling on to here, you know. And we were getting later on, kind of 2014, 2015, we were getting encouragement from guys who were trying to get into the club, right, you know, who are there now, you know, and they were saying, no, just hold on. You know, a few more months, you know, and hopefully we'll get this over the line, and don't do anything rash. And we didn't, you know, we just held on. Don't get me wrong. I mean, during those dark days, we were running sometimes buses with 25 and 30 people on, but we'll just keep our necks above water and no more, you know, because we always thought, you know, that this is going to turn around, you know, at some point, you know, and it would have been difficult then to go and start it all up again, you know, and then again there was a side of it thinking, well, we're going to let those that are strangling the club win, you know. So no, let's just keep doing this, you know. And that is what we've done, you know. And March 2015 came, you know. We sat with Stuart Robertson and Graham Park and John Gilligan, you know. And again, as I said earlier on, we literally haven't looked back, you know. So it was a difficult time, but Sandy Jardine is sorely missed, you know, daily. You know, he was a wonderful, wonderful help, you know. And there's old club minute books lying in there, you know, from club meetings from way back in the early 1880s. And he gave his access to them, you know. It's anything I can do to help, it's there for you. And the wonderful thing about those was there was monthly meetings being held by the club, you know, and every month the contributors, the people attending the meeting, their addresses were given, you know. So we could actually map Tom Valance's movements around about Glasgow, you know, which let us include another three locations in the Founders Trail, same with Peter McNeil, same with Moses, you know, that was an invaluable help, you know. And I say, Sandy was a great, great ranger, and he's sorely missed, mate, you know, but so we got off to a cracking start, went through the dark days, and we came out the other side, you know, very much just the same as the story as a club, and every fellow Rangers supporter, but we all experienced the same, mate, you know.
And I think Sandy was pivotal to a lot of that, because Ian, if you remember, you know yourself, you know, when the club was in disarray and we had no leaders and we were being kicked left, right and centre, we had the likes of Sandy, who ended up just being a beaming light for everybody.
Absolutely.
I think he was wonderful. That's what kept us going. I think he was actually one of the major reasons our Rangers are still here today. I think that was because he kept the spirit of the Rangers together and kept everybody keeping their heads up for the best. And the same as yourself, you know, it's easy to, when times are going bad, to say, you know what, it's not working. But for the likes of you guys to keep sticking in there and to come out the other side, a bit like the club's done itself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. You know, it was bad days, but listen, mate, we got through it, you know. And everything is, it couldn't be going better now, you know. It really couldn't be going better. As you touched on earlier on, you know, where the tours are booked out weeks, if not months in advance, you know. And again, you know, it was what I've got to highlight, you know, what I've got to emphasise again, puts across during the course of the tour, is this was never a business idea that myself and my colleague Gordon hatched. You know, it's we were researching this story of the founders, and the small snippets of information that we got back in 2007, 2008, we were putting out onto supporters' websites, and the feedback we were getting was really encouraging. And the journalist Gary Ralston contacted us during that process and said, look, I've been on one of those websites, I've seen what you're doing. He says, and I've been researching the story, and it's my aim to pull it all together and put it into a book. Is there any chance we could get together? And that's what we've done, you know. But during that process, we were getting requests from our fellow supporters saying, is there any way you could take us around about the city centre in some kind of formulated fashion? I've got a kind of idea where you're talking about, where Harry and Peter McNeil's shop was in Union Street, but I'm not 100% sure. And I said, look, come on, we'll invite a group down to Fletcher's Hall and we could do a walking tour. And we tried that, you know, but I mean, it just wasn't feasible. There's a couple of kind of elderly guys were there, you know, and I had employment history with the bus industry in Glasgow. And I was aware that I knew the guy that was running the city sightseeing open top buses at the time, and approached him, and his initial response was absolutely no chance. Any you sending us an open top bus around at that city centre full of football supporters? And I said, no, it won't be like that. You know, it'll be more refined. It's going to be a historical tour. And he said much the same as Sandy Jardine. He said, right, okay, let's do one and see how it goes. and it went exceptionally well. And so that's what it, that's how it came about. You know, it was never me and Gordon sitting down and saying, come on, we'll start a Rangers bus tour. We were asked to do it. You know, as I say, the walking tour, it just wasn't feasible. You know, we thought, right, let's try this with coach. Let's try it with open top bus. And it rolled on from there. But as you know, the weather you'll get across there and the weather you get in Glasgow, it's just, you know, it's just not feasible.
No, it's not great for open
keep, to keep running that open top bus. So
they
moved on to the parts of Hamilton coach in 2015 when the club changed hands. And again, it was kind of keeping it more indoors, if you like, you know. And then we just get people complaining about the heat on the coach, you know. So it was a no-win situation. But no, that's how it came about, you know. We do emphasise it was never a business venture, mate. You know, it was purely through the quest. But yes, we're absolutely delighted, you know, blown away with how it's progressed, you know.
Well, I've actually got one of the listeners, he knew you were going to be coming on at some point, and he asked me to sort of ask yourself, have you had any ex-Rangers players? I know you were saying Sandy there, but any other ex-Rangers players or legends that have come on to the tour with you and went with you?
We had Ronnie McKinnon came down with the Isle of Harris Supporters Club a few years ago. He came on. Also Ronnie's Barcelona Bear, and maybe Davey Wilson. Davey Wilson attended our dinner and our founders dinner in 2009, and I've been at a couple of, very fortunate to be at a couple of supporters functions, and we're paths have crossed with Davey, you know, and he came along with his grandchildren a couple of years ago, you know, and with Johnny Hubbard on one day, you know, and he was up, took the mic off me and was reciting these stories about his career, you know, the time was running away, and I was just ready to pack the bag and go home, and just said, well, I'm just going to leave his with Johnny for the rest of the
just
day.
Just let him have a mic.
But unfortunately, we haven't had, you know, kind of current players kind of round about, you know, but listen, I think their focus has got to be, you know, in getting ourselves prepared for matches. We have had a kind of tentative chat with people at the club about getting in touch with Craig Mulholland and taking a watered down kind of version of the founders presentation events that we do and getting up there to speak to the youth players, you know, and the departments, you know, and giving them an insight, you know, into what the boys faced when they were getting the club up and running, you know, and the fact that we're training six nights a week to be the best, you know, and this kind of stuff. So that's there's been kind of a tentative kind of chat about that, you know. So I would love to see that happening sometime in the future, you know. But you know, so it's
maybe I'm thinking far fetched, but you know, I was thinking it would be amazing. You know, especially when you get like some foreign players that are coming in to the club and maybe don't know, they know about Rangers, you know, the word do, but it'd be amazing if we could get, say, a couple of new signings and pick a date and go yourselves and say, you know what, guys, this is the institution you're playing for. This is what this club's all about. And coming away maybe with a different sense about the club after going on the tour with you of what they're actually playing for.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree, you know. But it's just going to find any time, you know. You know, to kind of fit that in, you know, and it's, I suppose, our downtime.
This is it. They're all athletes now, I suppose, and it's all about the training.
But listen, they know we're more than willing, you know. We took the board of directors around November 2016, and a couple of months, early 2017, we took 32 office staff from the club around as well, you know. And, from all departments, you know, and took them around about, they'd done the full tour. You know, and they came away, and there's a lot of people took a lot from that, you know, and it was important to give them, you know, an insight, you know, into exactly who they're working for, you know, and ideally, and it seemed we took the board of directors around. I mean, it wasn't a case of sitting there and all, you know, we told them, you know, all the way round about, you know, this torch had been lit, 140 odd years ago back in Flesher's Hall, and you're now carrying the torch, it's down to yous, you know, and they totally
no pressure.
It. They totally grasped it, you know, and to take them from Flesher's Hall and then up to Peter McNeil's final resting place in Bill Struis in Creighton Cemetery, you know, and talk them through exactly what we feel, you know, and all we're hoping for is we'll get people within the club that feel the same, you know, and listen, we know the board haven't got everything right. There isn't a board of directors in world football who get everything right, you know, but no, these guys are very much from the heart, you know, Certainly my experiences with them. You know, and they are good Rangers men. We've now got involved, yeah. You know, and that's what we always hoped for. You know that we would get.
Well, listen, you know, and my memories, Ian, of sort of Rangers is you were always thinking about the football. You very rarely thought about board problems, or you didn't really get involved in those things. But I think since what happened to us the last time, it puts more emphasis on any future boards now, because we're thinking that way when we wouldn't have thought that way before. We'd have just sort of cracked on, and Rangers are ticking over nicely and we don't get involved. But now anything that happens in the board and the media, the fans are talking about it, they're discussing it because of what we've been through.
Is it just modern football? I mean, I can remember in the mid-1970s going to my dad and getting it. We'd get a matchday programme every game we went. I couldn't have told you a board member's name. You know, all I knew was John Gregg and Sandy Jardine, David Cooper were going to be playing. You know, I couldn't have told you, you know, but my son, he's just 26 now. I mean, he came through the nightmare there of 2012 to 2015, you know, and all of a sudden became, you know, aware and knowledgeable of tax stuff, you know, and business deals. And it was just absolute nonsense. You know, it couldn't have been any more further away from the love of football than it was, you know. It was a terrible time. But
I remember everybody being a tax expert at that point.
Well, that's right, you know. And it's just
especially across the city.
Yeah, exactly. But no, thankfully we've moved on for that, you know. And we've got a huge week. Look forward to, you know. And it's as I say, just going back to, you know, what I was saying about the kind of younger generation, you know, that we've got in the tours. You know, it's what does come as a surprise, you know, to everyone is the age of the boys, you know, that formed the club. You know, I mean, that I think that 1877 team picture can be quite misleading, you know, because that was taken 5 years, obviously, after the formation of the club. And the guys that formed the club were only 15 and 16 year old, you know, when they got together and then they were taking up positions of responsibility within the club, you know, and that really resonates with people, you know, that really hits home. We get a lot of that coming back after the tour, people saying, I had absolutely no idea that they were that young, you know. And, you know, William McBeath becomes the club's first ever president at the ripe old age of 17, you know. And
it's crazy, isn't it, when you think about it?
Nothing short of remarkable, but it was very much hands-on. You know, it was hands-on, it was their club. And as I said, there were, it's an old article we found, that one of the guys that played in that 1877 team, a guy, Willie Dunlop, he wrote an article in 1881, and it was him that wrote about them training 6 nights a week. They were finding great frustration in the observance of the Sabbath, or they would have trained on that seventh night. You know, and there were a lot of clubs. This new sport association football was, you know, was hitting everyone, you know. And there was a lot of clubs that were formed and went to the wall kind of within weeks and months. But these guys were working 6 nights a week. You know, they were working during the day. I mean, we've got to remember these guys' jobs. But they were working 6 nights a week to make sure they were the best at what they were doing. You know, it wasn't just enough to compete, you know, and that is what stood Rangers in such good stead, you know, for so many years. That's what kept us moving forward, you know, was their drive and determination. And that's came across, you know, a lot, you know. Because people say, why Rangers? Why not Partick Thistle? Why not Clyde? You know, and that was the reason. You know, these boys were working hard, kept moving forward, you know, and then the clubs continued to grow. As a result, they were attracting more and more supporters, stroke members, it was at the time. And just a fantastic people's story, William, you know, that's
their ethos of hard work and wanting to be the best has obviously continued, because with Rangers now being the world's most successful football club, it just shows that their energy, drive and spirit. Yep. Obviously, likes of Bill Struth then being, you know, and it's just seemed it's just carried on through the generations. When you're at the Rangers, you've got to be the best.
That's right. So, you know, because what we got a lot, you know, and I can remember growing up, what we got a lot was it was Bill Struth that made Rangers. Don't get me wrong, Bill Struth played a huge and enormous part in moulding our club, you know. But even during that famous speech, you know, he goes on and on his season, and that has been the philosophy for the Rangers since the days of the Gallant Pioneers. And that's him tipping his hat at the founders. You know, it was him that invited Tom Vallance along to be his guest, you know, at those games I was speaking about back in 1933. You know, so he was fully aware of what those guys achieved, you know, to make sure the club not only was formed, you know, but it kept moving forward, it kept growing, you know. And he certainly took up the mantle in 1920 when he became manager, you know. So yeah, it rightly so gets huge amount of credit, you know, for installing many things, you know. But that discipline and hard work, integrity, it was all there. It was all getting put in place by the kids, you know, back in the 1870s, you know, which is incredible, you know.
Well, I'm going to go on in a wee bit about your own Rangers history, but before I do, I'd like you to tell us a wee bit more about the roadshow that you do.
Yeah. Well, what we got was, we had a lot of feedback back in 2013-14 from supporters clubs who, from outlying areas, you know, maybe from, you know, from up north in Scotland, you know, and obviously the supporters clubs are all geared towards getting to Ibrox for the match and back again, and it's a bit much for them to come back down the following day to do the Founders Trail or even stay over, you know. So a couple of guys approached and said, look, is there any way you could bring the story to us? So we sat down, you know, and had a discussion about that. And yep, the Founders Trail Roadshow took to the streets in 2014, and we've been all over the country, even across via Celsia. We've been in Belfast and Newton Arles and Clough, you know, and we're coming back across to Londonderry in November. That is what it is. It's we tell the founder's story via screen, you know, and Gordon works it off his laptop, you know, and a series of slides, and we present the full story again from Fleshers all the way through to Ibrox Stadium. We bring it up to the current day, and we give people an insight into the restoration of Rangers Grace Project, which of course was born off the back of our research. And so it gives people an insight, you know, and it's been very successful, you know, for the supporters clubs. They're having nights and raising money for charity. You know, we've been to a lot of Masonic lodges, Orange lodges, and it's been hugely, hugely successful, not only for us, but more importantly, you know, for the clubs there that are trying to raise funds for themselves, you know, with fantastic social evenings, you know. And you spoke about some of the old legends, you know. Going around doing these events, you know, where my paths have crossed, you know, with like Alec McDonald, you know, and Colin Steen, Willie Johnston, you know, and Andy Gorham, you know, and it's been fantastic, you know. They've either been on before us or on after us. So we've had some wonderful, wonderful events, you know, and they are continuing to grow. But again, it's trying to create a balance, you know, between the presentations and the tours, you know. It's been hugely successful, and I'm saying it's fantastic to get out and meet the punters, you know, and sit in a chat with them, you know, and what they face, you know, to get to Ibrox back and forward regular, and it's just brilliant. It's just brilliant hearing their stories. Yeah, it's great stuff.
Well, myself, I'll be good friends. Obviously, the Rangers Radio Show that I'm a panelist on would be good friends with the Plymouth Street Blues. And speaking to them guys, you got rave reviews for going down there. They thought you were absolutely first class.
Yeah, it was a brilliant weekend, a fantastic weekend. And again, they made a very generous donation to the restoration of Rangers Grace Project, you know. And they couldn't have been, their hospitality was just first class. A cracking group of guys. A brilliant, absolutely brilliant. You know, you hear about these supporters clubs, and you maybe say to yourself, you know, it must be so difficult. But you go down, you know, speak to them, and the absolute fervour and love and devotion I've got for our club is just brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, you know, to spend time with them. Yeah,
it just goes to show though how good, you know, it comes back to obviously 15-year-old starting a Rangers club all those years ago, but now you have supporters right across the world and in all corners of the United Kingdom. It's what they have built is absolutely unbelievable. And I'm sure even when they were starting at that time and working hard, I'm sure in all their wildest dreams, they never expected it just to get as big as what
I would never have thought so. You know, it's a worldwide institution. You know, as I said, over the decades, it's affected the lives of millions, you know. We often talk about that early date, Fleshers Hall. And if you could bring the founders back and took them to Manchester, you know, in 2008, when there's 250,000 people going to follow their club, you know, to the UEFA Cup final. Nothing sort of remarkable. And again, that's all fact. You know, I mean, this isn't some Hollywood script that we're sitting here writing, you know, and trying to put, you know, a fancy twist on it. That's just fact. That's just fact. Facts and figures. That is what happened.
Yeah.
And that's what continues to happen to our club. We just sell out everywhere we go. And
it's true. It is.
Absolutely none like us. which is great.
Well, at the minute, obviously, maybe the podcast is only at the beginning, but you never know. If it grows big enough in a few years, hopefully we'll have you over sometime at a live show here if we can do
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. That'd be absolutely brilliant. Yeah, it'd be fantastic. Yeah. Again, it's going to places like Plymouth, you know, and Thringston and Leicestershire. It's great. But again, going across to see you guys, you know, and sitting there meeting guys that are making that journey twice a week, you know, for a game at the weekend and coming back across to the midweek and trying to get back down and catch the boat. And it's brilliant. It's just, it's, it leaves you dumbstruck at times. It really does, you know. It makes you, you know, humbled, you know, to be actually sitting chatting to them, you know. The, you know, I can find myself moaning, you know, driving back to Cumbernauld and getting caught in traffic, you know. I'm 5 minutes late back, you know, and it's, then you've got to just stop and think, now, wait a minute, there's guys going to be in a bus here for 12 and 13 hours, getting back down south, you know, or, you know, or going down to Cairn Ryan to get the boat back across, and it's incredible, absolutely brilliant. So, well, I tip my hat to you, mate, you know, I really do.
Well, same to yourself, mate, for what you're doing for the club as well, and getting the story out there, which is, as you say, it's a fairy tale that you wouldn't quite believe, you know, unless you actually go to legs yourselves and all the facts are laid bare for you. But it's some story. It's absolutely incredible. And for my opinion, I could be biased, and I am biased, but for me, it's probably the greatest story of a football club in British history, in my opinion, when it comes to football, where the club come from.
I think that's without doubt. I think that's without doubt. There is, I don't think there's any club, if any, could come close to touching our story. A rags to riches story, a people story, you know, kids just working hard to making their dream become a reality, and that dream becomes the world's most successful football club. No, I don't think there's any club that can come quite close to it. You know?
Well, we're going to go on, Ian, yourself, mate, a wee bit more about you and your Rangers history and you finding the club and maybe some great memories you have growing up with the Rangers. And I know you're obviously a grandfather and stuff now, and obviously you're putting pictures up of the wee one all the time up at Ibrox. And it's fantastic to see, and that's what it's all about, bringing the new generations through and showing them what it's all about, mate. So if we could just hear more about you.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it was my dad. My dad had took me along. You know, it's no great surprise to anyone hear that. Man, it was my granddad before him that was taking him along. You know, and my earliest memories, certainly from the early 1970s, I can vaguely remember getting taken along to a reserve game. We were sitting in the main stand, and the Rangers reserve team were playing in a blue and white striped shirt. I can't remember who we were playing, how the score went. My first memory is the night we beat Bayern Munich at Ibrox, European Cup, World Cup semi-final. I can remember being right down at the wall at the Brunlund Road end, and I can still see Sandy Jardine's shot sailing in above Seth Meyer, and I was just absolutely... And even the Rangers end at the far end of the field, it was just this theatre, and there was just thousands of, tens of thousands of people, and the noise and the roar, and you were just touched for life, you know. And in the following season, was my first Old Firm game. That was the 1973 Scottish Cup final against Celtic, and we won 3-2 that day. Of course, Tamfer Sythe hit the ball in when it came back off the post with his wee studs. And again, I think there was 122,000 plus that day. I think that was the last 100,000 crowd at Hampden. Or certainly for a domestic game, there may have been internationals after that. And it was just that. Listen, that was it for life, you know. And my dad took me to as many home and very lucky away games as he could. And it was just born from there, you know. You just couldn't wait to be going on your own with your friends. And that happened when it was 77, 78 when we won the treble. That was when I first started going in Moaning. I was 13 then. And it just continued on from there, you know, right through the barren years of the early 80s, and then the explosion that was Graeme Souness came along, and it just gave me some fantastic memories right through 9 in a row. You know, I was a member of the Mission Drive Supporters Club. I think I could have counted in one hand the amount of games I missed during that period, and it just went on and on and on. And then my son came along, started taking him, he started going just at the start of Dick Advocaat's era. And yeah, and we've been through, don't get me wrong, over the last few years, it's been more of a roller coaster ride than anything else. But listen, it's all part of being Rangers fans, you know. It's all part of your life. It's just ingrained. And it's been absolutely fantastic. You know, as I said to my son during the close season there, we're sitting chatting, and I said, you know, you look through different generations from way back from the start of the club and what people experienced, what my dad experienced. And I said, but since I started going to the game, I've seen Rangers win trebles. You know, the barren season, I've seen Souness, I've seen nine in a row, I've seen Gascoigne, Loudrop, I've seen Advocaat, I've seen Administration, I've seen the third division. I mean, is there any generation going forward that is going to experience what we've experienced? I mean, I very much doubt it.
I hope they experience all the highs and none of the lows.
definitely, you know. But for personally, I'm also not the only one. For me to experience the high of nine in a row, and even I can vaguely remember the Cup Winners' Cup final. We were staying in Glasgow at the time, and then the bottom of the third division. That's just astonishing to have experienced that in one lifetime. But it's, first I tell you what, it's going to harden the Rangers support for the generations to come, you know, because no matter what, you know, I can hear, when I go to work, I can hear Celtic fans and St Mirren fans moaning, you know, and you're just sitting looking at them going, you have no idea. You have no idea what pain feels like.
Why?
You know, and yeah. No, it will stand us in good stead for the years to come. So, yeah, sure, listen, short and brief, but that is my Rangers story. From being a kid, 7-year-old at Ibrox and the Bayern Munich game, it's just an incredible experience.
Well, what a story that is on its own there, just listening to yourself talking about that game and Sandy scoring the goal, and then obviously you starting the founders trail and Sandy working with you. So that's an incredible fairy tale on its own. A kid watching his hero score, and then
that's the exact thought that's running through, honestly, it's running through my head when I'm sitting across the table for the first time talking to this guy about this bus tour, and I'm sitting looking at him saying, it was you who scored that goal. it's just incredible. You know, we're standing in the West Enclosure, I get sent down to the front and my dad would take me and the sand would be bombing up and down the wing. I'm like, you're that same guy, you know, and that's just brilliant. It's just brilliant, you know.
Well, another thing we're going to do now is, obviously, I know we were talking about before the Rangers 11 and the wee Ulster Bear Cup that I'm doing at the minute, and I know it's very hard for anybody to put down their favourite 11 because we have that many, but if you can, would like your best 11 from you, starting from the goalkeeper.
Sure. Again, I can only base this on who I've seen. I could go back and start throwing names like Wally Waddle and Jim Baxter in it, but I don't suppose it's really fair, you know. It can only be based on people that I've seen. So goalkeeper, I'm going to start with Andy Gorham. For me, he's the best goalkeeper that I've seen in the Rangers jersey. Okay, we're going to go right back.
I can't argue with that.
Right back, we'll just be talking about him at length there, Mr. Sandy Jardine. Right. And left back, that's even more difficult, because I really liked David Robertson, but I think Arthur Newman might just have shaded it. So I'm going to go for Arthur Newman at left back.
Okay, strong so far.
My centre two, I'm going to go with Terry Butcher and Richard Gough. Terry Butcher, simply because he was there more or less from day one when the Souness Revolution got underway, and he was a fantastic player, an absolutely fantastic player. Also England centre-half at the time, he just came in and just took control of that defence, and took control of that team, and he was brilliant. Richard Gough, speaks for himself, one of the most decorated players in the club's history. And he led his own, you know, right on to nine in a row. Moving into midfield, the name of Paul Gascoigne will come as absolutely no surprise. And I don't know if I even need to waste any time trying to justify it. Do I?
No.
No, it's right, okay. I'm going to move on then to Ian. Oh, this is a hard one. I'm going to move on to Ian Ferguson. And I was kind of split between Ian Ferguson and Ian Gerrant. I'm going to move on to Ian Ferguson. Ian Ferguson, for me, just epitomised everything, just what a Rangers player should be. And Again, an incredible Hall of Honours. One of the guys who managed to pick up 10 League Winners medals, and just absolutely brilliant. Just everything that a Rangers player for me should be. So I'm going to apologise to Ian Durant at this point, because Ian Ferguson just shaded that. On the other side of midfield, I'm going to go for George Alberts. Again, that was a difficult one. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's name is in there. I'm going to go for Alberts because of his goal contribution. And again, he's never say die attitude. Like George was something else. Again, I'm going to remind people, this is people I've seen, you know.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful. And I'm going to go my front three. First of all, I'm going to go for the genius that was Davy Cooper. An absolute legend, a wand of a left foot, and my first real hero. Going to see Rangers. Did start going 72, 73. Also, my dad was a bit of a Tommy McLean fan. I don't know if it had anything to do with the love of wingers, but when Davy Cooper signed, it was £100,000 signing to Clyde Bank, and he was literally setting ahead in fine in Scotland at the time, and for the fact Rangers went and got him. And then I heard he was a real Rangers man. That just Coop was a brilliant player. On the other side, again, no surprise, Brian Laudrup. Again, I don't think I need to get into any reasons why.
Another world-class player.
Yeah, absolute top drawer. Probably one of the best players ever to wear our jersey. I can remember my dad getting in debates, you know, about players, you know, Jim Batts and other players at the club, blah, blah. Nobody ever argued about Brian Laudrup, you know. There was never a debate about Laudrup. He was there, you know, and he was quite early up there. And my number nine, rattling the goals, has to be our greatest ever goal scorer, Mr. McCoist. He would go in some incredible bursts, set incredible records, a couple of golden boots to his name, and he was astonishing, just absolutely astonishing. Well to win, and I know it's for goal, which was just absolutely brilliant to see. So,
well, here's a tough question for you then, out of your team, who captains that side for you?
It would be Richard Goff.
Goffey?
Definitely Goffey. Aye.
It's hard to argue with that, isn't it? But I was thinking, with Butcher and Goff, you know.
Yeah.
Two
wonderful Rangers captains, as you say, leaders there. But for me, Goff would get the armband. He would get the armband.
So that's the team then. The other two teams were 4-4-2s, but you're going for a 4-3-3. So we'll put that up and we'll see how it goes. Obviously, your team beats four lads had a dream. So
I don't think we need any steel in midfield with that front three, because and the back four, because the middle three will have nothing to do then, literally.
I know. That's a cracking side. That is an absolute team. I've just got through there Terry, who does the technicals for us, Old School Blue. He sent me a wee picture of his daughter, Bethany, wearing the Founders Trail t-shirt. So,
oh, brilliant.
So that's fantastic. So that's another thing. Like, how does people get this? The different stuff off? You go through the websites and stuff, because you do so. I see the scarves and stuff you do and t-shirts and
it's just... It's just on our website, founderstrail.co.uk, and there's a shop section in there. And just follow the steps through. And the orders we get in, I'm not just saying because I'm on today, they are posted out within 24 hours. We hold the stock ourselves, so it's not as if the orders are getting sent to someone else. We hold the stock ourselves, and we go and post them at the post office within 24 hours of them coming in. So people don't have a delay in waiting anything. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, all that's left for me is to thank you very much, Ian, for coming on and telling your own story and a wee bit of the Rangers story. And I hope people that's listening has enjoyed it. And I hope you get yourselves booked onto the Founders Trail, because, as I say, I have done it myself and it's absolutely fantastic. And, Ian, you're more than welcome anytime. Anytime you want to come on and promote anything, give me a wee shout. You're always welcome.
Thank you very much indeed. It's been an absolute pleasure just to speak to me. Fellow Rain supporter yourself, and it's an absolute joy. Yeah, and I hope I see many more people coming in the Founders Trail and experience what wonderful stories as the years go on, mate. Thank you very much indeed.
No problem. As I say, I'll put a few post up for everybody who's listening, and share the links for the Founders Trail as well on my Twitter and Facebook, so you'll be able to get direct contact with the guys to be able to get yourselves booked on. Next, we're going to be talking to, hopefully, where I've been talking to David Mason, and he's obviously very, very busy, the club historian, but we're trying to get things worked with him, and he really wants to come on the show, so hopefully have more news on that soon. So thank you, everybody who's been listening. The guests have been fantastic again. Hopefully, we'll get to speak to you all very, very soon. Thank you all. Bye.